This was obviously a Lydia suggestion, right? So she started talking to me last week about Apple and the similarity between Apple and Manatech, and I started thinking, what a great premise. You know, if we can go out and talk about Apple in the same breath as Manatech, that's a good thing, because Apple today is like off the charts and everybody's buying from them and it's just huge, and we're going to talk a little bit about their shifting in philanthropy and being a part of their own social entrepreneurship type program, donation by consumption. But there are a lot of similarities, and there's a lot of excitement around Apple, and we want to, you know, talk about the excitement around Manatech, because that's what's happening today. There's a resurgence occurring in both companies, and so let's dig in and just kind of do a history of that and talk about how we can be more like Apple and how we can create that what Apple has, which is above and beyond what anyone else in the industry has. And how do we create that? And it's really about you and I in the field that need to get to work around that. So let's just talk about just tracing the history of both companies briefly, because, of course, I could spend a week talking to you about Apple and Steve Jobs and what he'd been through in his life and all the different backgrounds that he's had. Steve Wozniak and Jobs, basically they were college dropouts and founded Apple Computer in 1976, and of course credited with inventing the first home-use computer. And where did they create this? Well, it was out of a garage, and we know a lot of network marketing companies come out of garages too, right? Anyway, they spent 6 months developing the prototype for the first Apple, Apple I, first product ever made by Steve Jobs. And there are about 600 people that eventually bought that machine, and most of them were hobbyists, and because they had to know how to wire it, program, and set it up, because it was still tapped into, you know, televisions and audio cassettes and all sorts of other players to make it operable. And it was in a wooden box? I guess, is how they first shipped it. So Apple II was introduced in 1977, and of course, they never looked back from that point forward. And Sam, if you look at our history at Manatech, Sam Castor was originally introduced to Bill Ferretti and as a biochemist, and they had formulated a product utilizing the wild Mexican yam. And it was the first time that a biochemist had really discovered how to put the wild Mexican yam into the body through orally versus the creams. Many of you probably are familiar with the yam creams. Well, this is the first guy to come up with something that could bypass the stomach acid so the body could absorb it. And of course, that's the best way of absorption, would be the body absorbing in a normal, you know, like a food-like substance. And so Sam was approached to join them and help them market this in the marketplace. And, of course, Sam was extraordinary in that network marketing arena, so he jumped on board and said, yeah, I know how to do this, and they took this product to market. And were very effectively. In fact, the company got all the way up to almost $80 million in sales, I believe, in their first year or two, just basically with Plus, and then they added Sport, and then they added Phytolo, so they started expanding out. And then, of course, the next, the most important product, I should say, that Manatech ever developed was the one when Bill McAnally came along and developed the first complete glyconutrient product the world had ever seen in Ambertose. So we see these incredible breakthroughs between Apple created the first home-use computer, which is gigantic, you know, from a technology perspective, and then in the health arena, of course, Sam and Manatech coming through with these huge breakthrough in terms of health with the glyconutrient, the evolution of glyconutritionals and glycobiology and the first glyconutrient product, as well as Plus with the Mexican yam, but Ambertose obviously shines above and beyond that. And we just are seeing two groups of men with brilliant minds that had a change the world perspective. It's really about going out there, how do we change the world? What are we going to make different? What are we going to help people with? What are we going to, you know, put in the marketplace that's really a demand? So even though, and the funny thing is as Steve Jobs said, and over and over he said, and people commented about him, is that he really didn't fill a need in the marketplace. He just made products that caused us to desire them so much we had to have them. Does that make sense? And I think that's somewhat true about glyconutritionals and what Sam did as well, because really they created the products, and then we went out and introduced people to make them recognize the need they had for them. They didn't start with, quote-unquote, an acknowledged need, but we helped them understand the need they had for them. what we saw happening in both companies is generally a downturn. In other words, if you look at Apple, Steve Jobs actually got booted out of Apple in his own way, kind of squeezed out by the board. And for some of you, you know his history. He went into Next, and then he did Pixar. I mean, he was brilliant, and he became a multi-billionaire just doing the Pixar deal. He didn't even need Apple to become what he was. He became the largest shareholder in Disney, for those of you who didn't know. But Steve was booted out, so Apple went on its merry way without Steve Jobs. And we had very similar concept here at Manatech, where Sam was kind of put on the sidelines for a while, both, with new CEOs and then as well as with the Texas AG. So we saw Sam sidelined and other people take over. And what happened in both instances, both Apple and Manatech, is the attention went into a different direction. In Apple, they started making lots of different products. They didn't put quite the excellence in each given product. They almost became confusing from a customer perspective. There wasn't the level of precision that Steve was so known for. I mean, down to the every little screw in every one of his products is thought about, conceptualized, and determined. Even the inside of your Apple, cover is basically something that he felt needed to be designed and be perfect. But of course, they lost that because they lost Steve's attentiveness to those things. And Manatech lost its direction, kind of in a path. I remember when Wayne was taking over and he started talking about Osaline and we were going to be the fat loss company, and I just kept going, oh my gosh, what distinguishes us from all these other fat loss companies? I mean, my gosh, this isn't who we are. This isn't our identity. And yet it was catapulted to be the number one product, our best-selling product, and they were trying to make this into some monster, weight loss company. And a lot of us got irritated, and of course the field response was we could sell anything, but the problem was that we lost the passion. The passion that drove our company was dissipating under that tutelage of Wayne Badavinas, and soon changes had to, financially the company started, being hurt pretty well by that as well. And both Apple and Manatech went the same way. In fact, Apple was kind of on its last leg, and they desperately brought back in Steve Jobs to see if he couldn't possibly fix it. And I don't think the egos wanted to really admit that, but that was the reality going on in Apple. And that was in the early 90s, I believe. Mid-90s, and the same kind of thing happened with Manatech in the mid-2000s, that we needed to get some touch by Sam back. We needed, because customer attention was waning, that reputation in the marketplace was also losing its luster, definitely with Apple and definitely with Manatech. And so all of those downturns occurred in the history of both companies in a way that significantly impacted their financial success. And then we get to the third step, which is the resurgence, and the resurgence is pretty awesome. We can look at both Apple and both Manatech, and let's talk about the resurgence first from a perspective of what went on with Apple. Steve came back in and he basically refocused the company. He started looking at, first of all, he started with what were they working on, all the products, and he said, what are we focusing on? And he started throwing out products, and people were very angry, and people had formulated them. I mean, there's a lot of Steve was never one that sat back and avoided rocking people's boats. I think his whole nature was to rock as many boats as possible. He was a very disruptive personality, and very hard to get along with. But that sometimes happens with brilliant minds. But he really refocused the company back on specific products and threw out a bunch of miscellaneous lines or competing lines, and he wanted to get the focus on who we were and identity so that they had identity and branding in the marketplace. He built back in the precision in the manufacturing, which they had left when he was gone, to make sure that every facet of every product was perfect, anal retentive, and that's probably not a good word for it, but it's somebody that's so stuck on details that they can't see the forest through the trees, but Steve saw both. He could do both, and that's what made him such an incredible guy. But he put precision back into and breaking out new products in his famous way of how secretive he was and how creative as he was with the new things that he was coming out with. He always pushed the button Customer service was ranked number one. They always put their customer first, and that's a huge thing in Apple, and it's something that we need to really seriously look at Manatech, and did for a while, and now we kind of have walked away from that. But being a network marketing company, we're a little different. We're about us doing the customer service as well. I mean, we can't allocate that responsibility to Manatech. We need to take it on in the field. So it's something that of course Steve prided himself in was the concept of being the best in customer service, that every single thing that happened with a customer was a customer experience. And a lot of people today, their whole experience around buying an Apple product. I know that's very crucial to Lydia. She loves the way the boxes are wrapped, the way the packaging is, the way, you know, even so much they went so far as to even the T-shirts that they gave away when they had some grand opening of the Apple store here in Dallas. You'd open up the box and it opened up like a flower. It wasn't just a rectangular box that had edges to it. It when you took the cover, when you opened up, flipped open the top, it just like I said, it opened like a flower. And I've never seen a box like that in my life. But it probably cost twice as much as the other kind of box. But you know, it was a giveaway, and that's just who Steve Jobs was. He wanted you to have an experience around each and every aspect of his product. So it was a huge product experience. The other thing that he did that a lot of people kind of ignore, because Steve was not a very heavy philanthropic guy with the company. He did it on the side. His wife was heavily involved in a lot of different institutions, but he didn't do it internally in the company, and that's changing now with the new guy in charge, Tim Cook. But in the past, he didn't do that. But the reality is he actually did participate in a donation by consumption program. Isn't that fascinating? Kind of like, you know, we talk about our Give for Real. But I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Product Red program, but Product Red program was something that was started by Bono, the activist, U2 frontman and activist Bono, and Bobby Shriver of One Data, to engage the private sector in raising awareness and funds to help eliminate AIDS in Africa. So they started this Product Red program, and what it is they ask companies to produce red versions of their products to give profits from sales to charity. So in effect, what Apple would do every time they came out with a new product, like they have a red cover for the iPod, they have a red iPad 2, which you can find on, you know, being advertised right now. So anything that was red, they said from that we're donating a certain percentage of the income made. We're going to be donating to this program, and the money actually goes to the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, is the recipient of all red monies. And just for your information, of course, you probably could guess this, that Apple became the number one single largest contributor to that charity through this initiative. So they did play a huge role in helping to end another global issue out there and working on it, and that's eliminating AIDS in Africa. So that was kind of cool to see that correlation as well. And of course, with the resurgence, the iPhone has become a phenom. We now have iPads. We have iPad 2s. I mean, I don't know if some of you have looked, but when Steve passed away, the stock was trading about $390 a share. When he passed away, the stock dropped about 20 points within a week of his death. It was down about 20 points, in the 360s. Well, that was just like, a couple months ago, and if you would have bought it then, you would have made a fortune, because today it hit $500 a share. So this company is just absolutely exploding. It's become the number one company. It beats every other company in the United States in profitability, including all ExxonMobil. I mean, it's and what's really cool is when you look at their profitability, I put that in the outline so you can appreciate what's going on at Apple. The profits in fiscal 2011 were $6 billion. The profits in first quarter of 2012, or it should be first quarter of fourth quarter of 2011 were $6 billion. The first quarter, just the next quarter in 2012, they were $13.5 billion in profits. So they more than doubled their profits from one quarter to the next. I mean, this is just, these numbers are astronomical. And they're talking about taking them out of the Fortune 500 because their earnings are skewing the results of the other 499 Fortune 500 companies in that one. while. So pretty crazy. A good concept to you to really get a perspective of Apple. Now, why do I view Manatech in the same light? Because I think Manatech is the Apple of the network marketing industry. I think Manatech has what it takes. It's up to us to make some shifts in us to make that happen. We brought back Sam in, and Sam is now actively involved in Manatech. He doesn't hold a title as of yet, but I believe starting next year he can, because of the Texas AG thing. But he's instrumental in everything transpiring at Manatech today. As you well know, the company just got back on track after, you know, putting Rob and Steve in as the co-CEOs. We started refocusing. What is our strength? And we started refocusing, much like Apple, on what is our strength? Who are we? What's our identity? Our identity is the real food technology. You know, we came up with Live for Real, Give for All these concepts because it's about real food technology. Celebrating Amber Toast, the birthday Amber Toast. Again, what are we putting at the forefront in Manatech is our key products. You know, we're not taking one of our, and it's not that Osaline isn't a great product. It's just not who we are. It's a product that supports the body, and it supports the body to, you know, to have less fat, more lean, and I love that about it, and we all can enjoy it, and I take it for that reason. But the idea is it's not our key technology. What distinguishes us from everybody else in the marketplace is Amber Toast, Phytomatrix, all those things. So we celebrate Amber Toast's birthday. We developed the Real Switch Challenge. All of these things are starting to push us back into our positioning in the marketplace, where we belong, which is the top in the nutritional supplement industry. That is really just like Apple in the technology arena in terms of computers and iPhones and those kind of things. We belong at the top of that nutrition industry. So grabbing back onto identity is crucial. Manatech also implemented a lot of great things in the new reward system to incentivize people to be the best they can be. And some of you haven't yet jumped into that and experienced it. The shared pools at each leadership level are awesome. In fact, you know, everybody I talk to can see an extra $200 or $400 or $600 in their checks every single month because of Manatech pushing money back down to lower levels, people that are growing in the business so they can see a higher benefit. The new team bonus, power bonus, the new 18-month business plan, which is awesome, and I use every single day. It's just part of who we are and what we're driving in our businesses today. And then, of course, our program is something even greater than what the Red product program is, which is, it's just they pick and choose. We have a set of products that automatically, I mean, it's an automatic donation by consumption of matching through our Give for Real program. So automatically, you become a social entrepreneur. You're stepping into saving children. And we're going after not one specific disease condition. We're going after something, an epidemic called malnutrition that's occurring everywhere in the world. And it's such a blast to be a part of that. It's such a great, great feeling in my heart of hearts every day that I get somebody started new on the products. I get that sense of warmth, not just for them, not for Manatech, but for all these children that we're saving. So it's huge for us to keep that focus on what we're about and the legacy that this company is going to leave. So it's not just about, you know, giving great opportunities for people. People are building income like never before in Manatech. The health that we're still seeing like never before in Manatech, we now have this huge role in the Give for Real. So we are now on what I call our iPhone resurgence. Just like Apple, that is Manatech, and 2012 is that year. Now, one of the things that's really critical for us to look at for us individually at our levels as associates is this customer wow factor. I think it's something that if we miss this, we really miss the whole point of what distinguishes, you know, what distinguishes Apple in such a great way, and what, you know, and that's really where it kind of came out of, the wow factor from Apple. And there's a lot of ways to look at Apple because they want, again, they're enhancing every customer's experience. So I ask you, just thinking about it right now, how do you enhance every one of your customers' experience around the Manatech products? And maybe the answer is, I don't know, Mary Jo, or I'm not. Or I'm giving them this material or whatever that is. Well, you want people to walk away from their experience of you in a significant way because it is, in fact, their experience of you that drives them in this business and in their concept of who Manatech is, because they don't know any better at the time they get started. So we need to start really acknowledging what that means. And Steve had it down pat. I mean, he really gets it. Apple has it down pat. They just, it's all about enhancing every customer's experience. So that's what's going to distinguish them. And that's what also drives this almost cult-like behavior. And I'm not going after a cult, but I am going after customer loyalty. And so you can call it customer loyalty as a concept. And we need to have customer loyalty programs. We need, as individual Manatech associates, develop customer loyalty programs. Manatech can do their part, but we need to do our part because we're the ones that have most connections with our customer base. And they're so crucial for our ever-beingness. They're so crucial for the life of these children that we're helping. So we need to really honor each and every one of our customers that we have in our organization in a new way. And so that's what we need to look at. Well, let's first look at what Apple does in terms of creating their wow factor. And they have, of course, they won't even let somebody else. I mean, they got to the point where they said, we're not letting other people sell our products. Even when they have, like, Best Buy sell their products, there's an Apple section in the store. So they're not going to let just anyone be able to sell their products because that is going to corrupt the Apple experience. So they want to be able to control that. And the only way they do that is by doing it themselves and having separated divisions in stores where they control the environment and what happens in their section of that store. And then they, of course, what else did they do? They went out and they, against a lot of people's suggestions and recommendations, they created their own stores. And those Apple stores today, I don't know if you've ever been to one, but every time I go, it seems there's a line to be waiting because people just, I mean, they just, it's a place, it's almost like a Starbucks for some people, right? I think they're just consuming fumes from Apple or something. Oh, Lydia's in the background laughing at me, picking on me. But it's incredible, and Lydia said, you know, with Mary Jo, what you need to do is look up the attention to customer service. Just look up, you know, if you were going to get a retail job at an Apple store. So she gave me this sheet that just kind of described what it takes to be, you know, to be a retail rep in one of their stores as customer service person. And they said, you need to be fascinated by how things work and the reasons they sometimes don't. You're going to be kind of the person that rearranged your computer set up just for fun. You're kind of the kid who took things apart just to put them back together again. So they're looking for people that really are fascinated just by understanding how things work. They want you to have that kind of mentality. They also say you provide white glove treatment to customers. This is in their description, job descriptions. You enjoy meeting people and building relationships with customers. Your friends and family see you as an absolute technical guru, right? You have a burning desire to solve problems, and you just are taken with solving those problems. These are the kind of characteristics they're looking in people, so it gives you an idea that Apple's not just looking for anybody. They really want to create an incredible culture for their customer base in the store. So they're really looking for specific people with specific characteristics that will support that. I talked about their packaging right down to every detail, an incredible experience. Even, in fact, there are people that out there you can interview and they save their Apple box in which their computer was shipped. Oh, that's Lydia too. Here she goes picking on me in the background. Because it's such an experience in and of itself. It's such an incredible box and because it's not just a cheesy piece of cardboard. And we talked about the shopping experience already. The perfection in the packaging and in the products, again, down to every screw, we talked about that as well, that's kind of attentiveness that even what color the inside of the frame. And I remember in one of the things I read about Steve, he said one of his development guys was like joking and laughing at him because he said, who cares? This is going to be the back of the computer. No one ever sees this part of the computer. And Steve Jobs kind of looked at him and said, you know, almost like, who are you? Like you're like some kind of off from Mars or something. I mean, it was important to Steve, every bit of it, no matter whether it was going to be seen or not seen. So he is intense about every aspect of everything he created. Exceeding reality was a big part of Steve's life. I mean, it was he had a theory called the reality distortion theory, which I actually fell in love with because I kind of align it with my scriptural beliefs about you know, anything's possible through God. So we only limit ourselves. So reality is not a limitation because anything can be created. And Steve felt the same way when people would tell him the 20 reasons why they couldn't do something, like the multiple touch screen. I mean, they told him that was impossible. And he said, no, it is possible. This is what we need. We don't want a stylus. We want a multiple touch screen. So he just put his, he just surrounded himself with people with great minds, and he accomplished it. So it was, you know, any idea can be created. They always kind of referred to him that way, and that's the way we need to treat our customers as well. Allow the reality, you know, we want to exceed reality. We want to go above and beyond, you know. We want to be beyond excellent in our approach to people. If you read the news today, just as I was getting ready for the call, Lydia gave me an article that just talked about, you know, branding, and of course the Apple brand carries all that reputation with it. That's why you build reputation, is it's about your branding. And each one of us, you and me, we have our own branding that we're doing. But they just announced that Apple has the best image of any American company, scoring a record high in a new reputation study, while financial institutions fill the ranks of the worst. Well, we knew that. But Apple is number one in their interactive opinion poll on corporate brands, and it overtook last year's brand champ was Google, and this year, for the first time, Apple's number one. And so it's huge. And that's the kind of reputation. That's where we want. We want to be a Manitech number one, but we also, in order to get Manitech number one, we need to get us number one. Right? So how do we take the wow factor that Steve has created in Apple, and how do we get that in Manitech? And the first thing we need to do is look at exceeding expectations. And when you sign up a new person, and Lydia, we're starting to sign up people left and right, which is fun. It's getting back into the dynamics of what this business was like 5 years ago for us. And I even told my husband, I said, you know, 10 years ago I started off, or not 10, but it was 12, 13 years ago, I started as a truck of building this business, and I said, I was a lot younger back then, and so, but I still feel young at heart, so, I'm out there stomping the streets, doing the things that I did back at the beginning, and we had a presidential call last week, and Niall Pratt, a lot of the presidentials were expressing the excitement about what they're doing, and Niall Pratt was one of them, and I'll share his commentary on that call. He says, you know, I look back at what made me great in this business in the past. And he said, I went out and I did meetings. And he said, so I looked at my wife. I said, we're going to go out and do meetings. And he's doing, you know, 2-3 meetings a week and traveling. And he goes, you know what? Filling rooms. We're packing the rooms. We're packing. Nothing's changed. It's just we have changed. We stopped doing what we know works. And he said, I'm going back to doing what works. And so it was a blessing to hear from him and his new excitement and his wife as well, driving their business to a new level again and watching the excitement around them. So, but we have to, what do we need to do? We need to step into, to create the wow factor, we need exceed expectations. When people sign up, what are we doing? Upon their sign up, what is your policy? Do you have a customer policy in place? You know, in the past, some of you knew I'd send out a letter and I'd send up a cleanse response sheet and all that every single time somebody new started. And I honestly can tell you, I don't think we've done that in the last 5 years. That kind of fell off the way. So I said, Lydia, we have a new program. We're setting up, you know, how we treat brand new consumers. What are we going to do? And maybe it changes a little with technology, but we're putting in that consumer appreciation program right now. Lydia and I are building on it because of a lot of this that we reviewed last week in terms of preparing for this call, as well as seeing all the new people coming on board. So you got to think about, what am I doing upon sign up? What am I doing weekly, monthly? What invites do I send out to them? How am I educating them on new products? You know, a lot of times we look at our newest consumer associates and we just consider them for referrals. And the number one way, we got to consistently remind ourselves, the number one way you get referrals from people is by developing relationships with the people you have. You've got to develop that relationship. Once you've got them totally sold on you and Manitech and everything, now the referrals will come just naturally. So is there a time to ask and a time not to? I think so. I mean, when you just get them first signed up, you don't want to go, okay, so give me all the referrals. Only if you have, through the process of getting them started, you've gotten them, you know, built a relationship with them that you guys are really on track together, then perhaps you're in a posture where you can start with referrals. But it's build that relationship. Show up in a huge way. When you exceed their expectations, they will not ever flinch about giving your name to 101 people or giving you 101 names, because you are always out there. They know you for your reputation of exceeding expectations. And I just ask you to look at yourself. Has that been happening for you? Or have you allowed, you know, kind of the downtrend in Manatech over the last few years to kind of take your belief system away or take your joy away or take something away that you can't be with and be 100% all in? Then start evaluating that and say, what is it going to take for me to get there? It takes one thing, most importantly, and that's choice. Your choice. Because we choose our belief system. We choose what to feed in that belief system. So choose different and you can create something different. Because I know one thing, if you keep doing what you've always been doing, you're going to keep getting the same thing you've always been getting. And I think people out there today are excited about what's available and the tools we have to get create something different. Consumer appreciation, recognition, and acknowledgments as well. We like to acknowledge people, so we're out there acknowledging people on different things, and we recognize even when people put in a big order or something. We might get in touch. Lydia and I watch that every month and get in touch with them and talk about what's going on in their life and, you know, just to make sure that they're fine and they're doing it okay and there's something we can't add them to our prayer list. I mean, how many times have you bought an extra order from a company and they've contacted you? See what happens with customer service? You really can play an incredible role in their lives. And they feel important because they know that you're watching them. You're watching their orders. Personal touch. Another thing that Lydia and I are developing is a tracker on each customer so that what we have is we have a list. Every time I talk to a customer, I put a date down, what we discuss, so I keep notes. So I have that in the computer. I can go back and I know exactly what that communication. Isn't that a cool idea? And as soon as we get that finalized, I'm going to share it with everybody because I think, you know, it's not that we're a pro at putting this together, but I think it's a great tool for all of us to use. Because how many times have you, and some of you say, well, Mary Jo, I only have one customer underneath me. Well, then it's probably easy to handle. But when you have hundreds, and that's where you're going with your business, is to have hundreds, you still want to be able to manage that personal touch. And how many times have you gotten a phone call 2 months after you got somebody registered, and you can't remember the information about them? And you scramble. So there's got to be a place where you can store the data so you can keep track of that. And that's what we're going to be developing. It's a personal touch. And then the price should never be an issue. I always tell people it's always about value and focusing on value and focusing on benefits, not features, focusing on benefits and focus on value. And that's where we have to continue to keep our minds focusing on value. And yes, is price going to be an issue for some people? Absolutely. People are going to bring up price, but you want to go back and focus on value. And watch what happens around the pricing when you focus on value. And that doesn't mean you don't build a pack that's doable for them. You still build a pack that's doable. But, again, focus on the value. Meet their needs. Always be sensitive to them. That's what's important. And, again, I reiterate it again. Don't just deal with them on a referral basis. Meet their needs. Find out how they're doing. Really be interested in them as people. Another company that I just threw in here because they had such a great concept around, committing to wow around customer service was Zappos. And some of you are familiar with that company, a shoe company, and they have like 10 major values. And the first one is, of course, delivering wow through service. That's number one on their list, so it's critical. But I put the other 9 in the outline today just to kind of give you some ideas. And then I went in and said, how does this look for Manatechers and in developing your customer loyalty program? So with Zappos is a company that really is driven and become, just billionaires overnight. They embrace and drive change. They create fun and a little bit of weirdness, and I like to do that. Of course, you guys know that about me. I'm always trying to create fun out of everything, and it's just my playful spirit. Some people call it immaturity. I call it never wanting to grow old. You know, it's more fun to have fun than it is the alternative. So I choose fun. Adventurous, undoubtedly, creative, open-minded, that's where we need to be. We need to be in that place instead of judgmental and stuck and stressed and about choosing this for your life. Pursue growth and learning always. That should be one of our set goals about who we are as people because we're not going to have arrived till, for me, I'm in heaven. Build open, honest relationships with communication. That means communicate. And be great listeners, right? Doesn't that what that tells you, to be great listeners? Build a positive team and family spirit. Do more with less. Be passionate and determined, and we got to show that passion. And, of course, be humble. And if we take all those factors and we go, what does this look like for Manatechers in building a customer loyalty program? How can we do that? Well, growth and learning. What are you doing around growth and learning? Are you educating your people? I do a monthly Manamail. In fact, Lydia reminded me we haven't gotten ours out for February because of all the traffic and stuff, so that's on our agenda today to get that done. But in my monthly newsletters, I love to educate. Like this one going out this month is going to be, we're going to talk about the studies coming out on how synthetic vitamins are very destructive on the human body, and that it's not a myth, it's a reality of this distinction between real and synthetic. And it's just going to be a educational piece. So you want to be able to educate your people from time to time. And that's important because if they see that, what does that mean? It's a contribution that's exceeding expectations, and it's a contribution that you're making to them that's going to keep them consistent and loyal to taking the products. And then the second thing, building a team family spirit, building a team and a family spirit. So some teams actually come up with team names, and Lydia and I are looking at that as well. I mean, what can we call our name? We've done that in the past when incentives have come up, because I remember that we called one of our incentives the Salmon Swimming Upstream Club, but that was people that were fighting for the incentive, and it was going to Alaska, so that was an appropriate term that we gave our quote-unquote club. Yeah, but I think all of us can come up with some, because that helps team camaraderie, it helps feeling like you're part of a family. And so look at your team and see if you can't come up with a name that suits you and builds that camaraderie and family feeling. Under-promise and over-deliver, always. We tend in Manitech to overpromise because we talk about our products as if they're going to cure the world. And, of course, thank goodness we can't talk about diseases anymore and that kind of reference point. But we want to underpromise and overdeliver. And I think one of the things that allows us to do that today is that 100% money-back guarantee, which is awesome. Establish core values and communicate them to attract people who fit both as customers and business builders. In other words, this really gets to who are you and what's your brand. You know, we all need to do branding. And I'm going to do a big piece of that in the program I'm doing right now, the special program I'm running for 3 to 4 months. And it's about branding. What's your brand? Because you've got to have an identity out there. And some of you want to run from that. That's not going to help you grow a big business if you don't have a brand. You got to have a brand. What's most important to you? So you do a core value analysis. What's most important? And how do I best communicate that to the world? So then you start attracting people to you that's that law of attraction. As you sow, so shall you reap. As you put it out there, it's going to come back to you. But the branding is so crucial. If your brand is confusion, or your brand is manipulation, or your brand is, you know, overbearing, or your brand, whatever, you know, it's going to be difficult for you to be effective with people. And the idea is you want to be as effective as you possibly can with the most number of people. So what is your brand? And defining brand, which is awesome. You want to surprise and delight. You know, that's part of it, too. You want to surprise and delight people. That gets to me to be more of exceeding expectations. Understand what your competitors are doing. We get information on that, you know, on a weekly basis. So it's something that you just need to know what else is happening out there in the marketplace. So when you're out there talking to people and they bring something up, maybe you can be more responsive to it. You can find that out by, you know, internet searches, all sorts of ways to do that. But I wouldn't spend a lot of time in that because that's not something that is going to necessarily serve you in the greatest way. It's not a high leverage activity, in other words. Fix all problems. Some of us run from problems. If a customer has a problem, what do? I got a call this morning from somebody. It was one of my people in my organization, and she basically emailed, I guess it was this morning. She emailed me and just talked about a problem with an allergic response, and it wasn't even our product. It was somebody else's product, but she tried to use our product to compensate, our topical creams to compensate, and it wasn't working effectively, and she was wondering what ingredient. So I've passed that on to customer product services over at Manitech headquarters. But it's not just doing the least amount, it's doing the best I can. I'm taking the best approach I can to find a resolution for her. Even though it involves somebody else's product, she tried to use our product to compensate for it. That didn't help. So is there something in here? And we gave a couple of items that might be triggering a response. Well, I go to customer service. I'll go and find somebody who might have that answer. It's going above and beyond the call of duty in the eyes of the person that you're working with. And overcoming any kind of negativity. If people have some negative language, you want to be able to overcome that. Are you always going to overcome that? No. But if you're totally responsive to it, you're doing the best you can. And that's what you need to do, is how do I put out my best approach to this? Because sometimes people are just going to be negative. There are naysayers in the world, and that's the way they're going to be, and they can go down their stream with that attitude, and there's, you know, probably not a lot that you're going to be able to do about it, so that you're going to just have to shift. But putting forth maximum effort, they're always going to honor you for what you attempted to do. They're always going to find that you stand in integrity for what you did. And then making the customer right. I think that's an important policy that we need to do. When a customer says something, and that doesn't mean if they tell you your product is lousy that you're going to make them right. You know, you want to, when a customer has a complaint or has an issue, you go, you know what, let me pursue that for you. You know what, that's one way of looking at it, and I never looked at it that way, so I find that interesting that you would look at it that way. And then you might ask them some more questions. But never make them wrong. You don't say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you don't want to do that. I was, you know, this past week I was working with some people and they just, you know, here's an example, and I'm just throwing this out there as an example that a woman that was, she loved to buy things off of the internet in different places, and the person I was working with looked at her and said, you know what, you know, here you're bringing all this other products into your life and you wonder why you have dementia. And I just thought, wow. I mean, wow. It's like, I mean, it wasn't even just not making it right. It was like condemnation. It was like, you brought this on yourself. I mean, we don't have any clue what caused that. But, I mean, you're so gentle. I mean, the customer's beautiful. You know, and I cherish every customer. I'm working with these people, and I just love what they're doing, and I honor them for what they're doing. I honor for the exercise they were doing. I honored how they were eating, what they were taking. I said, I mean, because when that customer's done with Mary Jo, I want them to walk out of that relationship, and I want to just say, they had a wow time. I want my customers to go, how do I get more time with Mary Jo? Even though I can't give that, I don't have a million hours a day, but I want to leave that feeling. I want to leave a sense of love and of heart and of wow, that what a wow experience. What a joy that was, and bring joy in their hearts. So that's what the direction you want to go, and that's what's going to support you in terms of being the Apple of the network marketing industry. So people, that's what I got to say today. So how many of these things can you implement? A lot. We have a lot of similarities, and we can be that wow factor. So I want you to kind of maybe even by your computer put something up, you know, am I creating the wow factor, right? And just use that as an assessment about, and if you put it next to your phone, it's even better, because a lot of your interaction with your consumers and your business people and people in the public come off of that telephone. And so put it on the computer as well when you're drafting those emails. Just think about just one step farther. It's almost like taking yourself and saying, I want to push myself one step further. I'm doing this much, but is there something I can do a little bit more? You know, and pushing that button to push yourself one step further. Because, you know, having excellence as a standard is really something that will serve you in so many ways. So jump on to my favorite distorted reality theory, that I can always be better no matter what I do. I can always be better, and I'm always looking for that little edge and that little something special and that little dropping something in the mail or doing something that you can really do. It's just trying to be that extra blessing. It's that wow factor that we want to create for people, because that's what triggers loyalty. That's what triggers people to want to be around you and be a part of whatever you're in. They want to be a part of it, and that's what the attraction factor that you want to establish. So let's do that, and we'll be the next Apple of network marketing. Okay, people? Great. Any questions, any comments? Quiet group today. All right, so I'll just let you all go. You just create that, and you'll see more of this information coming out from us, because I'm totally on when it comes to that customer loyalty program. I want to create something that's going to work for us, and you can pick and choose. Some of you will say, well, Mary Jo, I don't have a Lydia, or I can't do all that. Or then you got to hammer out, no matter what you can't do, there's always things you can do. And what you do is choose into being the best you can be in the things you can do. And you know what? That works too. It's really about really stepping up at a new level and that beingness of who you are to your customer base and your business builders, about being the best and adding that wow to your business. Okay, everybody, love you all. Have a great, great week. And we'll see a bunch of you tonight on our new series. And a bunch of you we'll see next Monday. Okay, thanks, everyone.
Mary Jo?
Yes?
Hey, this is Nikki Lynn in Riverside, California. Hey, you were talking about that customer tracking program, because Rico and I have been trying to develop one as well. And, you know, because you're in touch with the people over at Manatech, that needs to be part of our Navigate.
Yeah, I think so. Well, they're going to be doing a, Navigate, they're putting in a contact manager form. But that's not what I'm talking about, but it's going to be a contact manager form, which would be great. But there's something more than contact manager that I'm looking for. I think that Vicki Lynn, I think it's great, and I think that once we get kicked off, and maybe what I do after I get off this call this morning is I actually, put a call in over there and talk to somebody and say, hey, I want to develop this, and I want to work with somebody internally to make sure it's part of Manatech, right?
We've been trying to develop a system to keep track of people too. So
yeah,
to have like a date stamp and that's automatic for us.
Exactly.
Where it's connected to and sending stuff out to. So.
And thank you, Vicki Lynn. That's great. Great idea. And today with technology, it's not a hard thing. I mean, but it's got to be a way of taking the information off of Success Tracker, because that's where all our data is on our people, phone numbers and contact information, somehow pulling that off and putting, but we haven't gone through it. Lydia and I just talked about it briefly, but we're entrenched and we're totally committed, so know it's coming. And I will definitely have a conversation today with people at Manatech about the importance of that, okay?
Also a drip system, Mary Jo.
A what?
A drip system where we drip on them every once in a while where it kind of automatically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You mean like an automatic drip system? Yeah.
Yes.
And they already have an idea around that they've developed. I don't know where it is at this point, but they discussed it with us in Bermuda. So we're looking at that. It's where people get, it's almost like, remember that healthy lifestyle book that we used to get? Healthy Living, it was called?
Yes.
They're talking about developing that again, but having it go out from Manatech to customers in your organization, like on a quarterly basis. So that every quarter they get, that'd be cool. And you don't even, you don't have anything to do about it, but they do it. They do it automatically. Isn't that great? That'd be super.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So that's in the works over there. But like I said, the rest of it, this contact system we need for us to be able to track data, track information. And then the other thing is beautiful too. We can immediately send, little notes, get well cards or stuff. I mean, just the touchy stuff that we need to be doing as people, because this is our team, and I want to be able to feel like that's, my team is getting taken care of. Okay?
Great. Okay, thank you.
Vicki Lynn, thank you. Thank you, and great suggestion. Absolute. Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And one more thing that happens when you take care of your customers is that you are also building generational loyalty, which is certainly what Apple has done.
Right.
So, we have Apple, my son bought Apple computers, and my grandson is very much aware of the Apple Store. He's two and a half.
Two and a half.
That's right. And, that's what will happen with Mana Bears, because kids who are brought up on Mana Bears, they get introduced to it, and that's what they're taking. So.
Yep. Generational loyalty. I love it. That's a great, I didn't even have that in the outline.
Generational loyalty.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes generational loyalty. I love it. Perfect. Yeah, absolute. And it does. And that's what it's about. It's about that wow experience and generational loyalty. If we give people that maximum experience, they're going to take it to their families generation after generation. Absolute. Thanks.
And I would also say amen to the comments about a contact manager, the things that you're doing. I still do my stuff on index cards, which has been around for, 15 years.
I've been around since we discovered paper. No, I'm kidding.
I want to improve it, and yet we don't have it. We don't have it, and it's frustrating.
I know. Absolutely. I agree with you, and I'm the same way. I mean, I did. In fact, when I started my business, I had the box. And all my contact management, the box with the index with the dates on it. I mean, I can go back to how I started network marketing myself, and I can laugh at myself because it's so antiquated. But yeah, our customer service is exactly in that same place, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So,
I got it.
I'm ready to move up. I'm ready to move up. I have my box.
Okay, we're on this movement. No more boxes. Yeah, I love it. All right, great.
Mary Jo, this is Rebecca. Yeah, I just say amen to everything what you're doing about the follow-up, because I had the box, and then I got it. I was using that other system, MTEX Pro, and they had a really good contact manager where you could just record everything in there, you know, what you talked, and that's what I was using. And now I go to navigate, and I'm lost.
I know. That's
so
exactly right.
And I'm doing that, keeping track of my calls and everything like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Until they, but I do know they are right now they're in the midst of adding Contact Manager system in Navigate. Uh-huh. It'll be in there by no later than Manifest. So
uh-huh.
we will have it. So that's not a problem. But I still think this customer loyalty program is something independent from that, because that's really more aimed at prospecting than it is what your base that you have. So we got to feed that into another level, and it's just got to be done. I mean, it's critical mm-hmm. for all of us. It's critical for us being that wow company, right? Exactly.
Right. And you know what? When you said customer loyalty, I was in the other room, and I heard customer royalty. So that's what I'm going to put on my customer
royalty. No, it's good. They are loyal. I mean, we got to treat them like royalty. Right.
Exactly.
There you go. I love that. Perfect. Thanks. Another great concept. Okay. All right, everybody. Any last-minute comments? All right. I love you guys. Have a great, great week, and we'll talk again next Monday.